Welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists, hosted by Dr. Jake Porter. APSATS is a nonprofit organization providing professional training and compassionate support to partners affected by problematic sexual behavior and betrayal trauma. In each episode, Dr. Jake guides a conversation of enlightening insights and practical tools to empower those affected by sex addiction and betrayal trauma to use their voices and live their values. The mission of Betrayal Recovery Radio is to offer hope to those in need of healing and growth to those moving through grief. And now, here's your host, Dr. Jake Porter.
Well, here we are, time for another episode of Betrayal Recovery Radio. I am your host, Dr. Jake Porter, and today we're going to continue a conversation between Kathy and Conrad Reynolds and Carly Poole. Kathy and Conrad are both coaches. Kathy's trained in the APSATS model, and Carly is an LPC associate, also trained by APSATS, who works extensively with betrayed partners. Carly is one of the sharpest people I know. I met her during her grad school career when I was one of her professors. And you're going to get today the second half of an interview that was done by Kathy and Conrad interviewing Carly at this year's Choose Connection Summit. The topic is on the adult children of sex addicts. There's just now beginning to be way more attention turned to the effects on adult children who experience the discovery of betrayal early on in their childhood, in their adolescence, or even if they didn't know exactly what was going on. So we've gotten lots of great response from this topic, and I know that you will get a lot out of the rest of this conversation. If you missed the first half, I'd encourage you to stop this episode right here, go back to last week's episode, and listen to it first. Before we turn our attention to the continuation of this conversation, I do want to point you to APSATS.org. There you're going to find lots and lots of helpful information, a directory of APSATS trained professionals, a calendar of training events coming up. Every single month, APSATS is doing something to further promote excellence in care for betrayed partners. So go there, APSATS.org, and learn more. Okay. Now let's turn to the rest of the conversation between Kathy Conrad Reynolds and Carly Poole.
Okay, so Carly, let's move on to your next question. So, do you think the amount or type of acting out influences how these characteristics develop? I like this question too.
Yes and no. My answer, does the amount and type of acting out affect the child? I think the way that it affects the family system affects the child, which grows into the adult child. And so let's talk about some examples. Okay. If we have a partner whose husband is addicted to pornography, and it's only pornography, and perhaps that partner is, their value system does not align with that, you know, because before people are like labeled partners, some people are fine with pornography, right? But then you have this one partner who is not, and it's a direct insult and injustice on the marriage. And so it affects that partner. And so she can experience the same trauma symptoms as a result of that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Compare it to a partner whose husband had multiple affairs, went to brothels and acted out in many ways. Okay. It's hard for me to say that, like, that partner will respond more excessively than the partner whose husband was just addicted to pornography. But it's, do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah, keep going. And when, when you say just, when she says just addicted to pornography, I want to clarify, Carly is in no way minimizing pornography addiction.
Oh, no. Not
at all. I mean, you're just saying that the primary addiction is pornography. It has not crossed over into any lines of acting out with other people.
Right. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, of course not. That's the primary addiction.
Primary addiction, right.
Compared to other ways of acting out, or how we understand the sexual template. If the husband's sexual template is more pervasive in different ways, the response from the partner might look the same. You know, it might, and often does, really does. The response looks the same. And so the effect on the child, I don't want to say the same, because there are variables like, what is the family system already? What are the things that are good and healthy? Like, does the family have a good support system already? You know, is grandma and grandpa around? Are they aunts, uncles? And so the question is, does the amount and type affect the child? No, in the sense that betrayed partners are betrayed partners, okay, and their responses are very similar. Yes, if the external variables are different. I don't know if I'm making sense.
You're making sense. You're making absolute sense. In other words, it's not a cookie cutter answer.
Yeah.
It just depends.
Yeah.
A lot of different factors. So in our story, you know, there was a lot of family support. My kids had incredible grandparents who were a huge part of their life and a huge support to them and to us. So it mattered. It really mattered. So in other words, if children did not have that sort of extra support, I can see that it would be very different. It would be a lot harder for those children.
Yeah.
Daily lives, there's no safe place. You know, my youngest, because he was of course younger at the time of discovery, so that means that he is the one who got to see all of the trauma that I experienced.
Yeah,
his grandmothers were his secure attachment. It was not me. They were the ones who kept him safe. So that matters. So anyway, that's digressing on your question, but I hear what you're saying. I wanted to say something about porn addiction and what you mentioned about the betrayal being the same. I had a partner one time say to me that if your husband has had an affair or multiple affairs, whatever the case may be, then what is threatening to you is that specific person.
Yeah.
If your husband is addicted to pornography, then every woman feels like a threat.
Yeah.
Whatever type of pornography, everyone. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It's the betrayal. It's the deception that causes the trauma.
Yeah.
Not necessarily what the acting out behaviors were. So, okay, Carly, let's move on to your next one. Because, you know, we were talking about how, oh my gosh, 50 minutes, that's a long time. Well, we're closing in on that 50 minutes. So let's keep going. How do you think this affects the relationship between parents and their children? Ooh, we could talk a whole hour about that.
I know. Excuse me.
We're good on time. You keep going.
I feel like a lot, we've actually covered a lot of this, right? But I'll touch on my notes. So I think when I've had the parents of the adult children as clients, there is a lot of guilt, right? I should have done better. Sometimes they know that they did the best that they could have. And sometimes it doesn't help that they hear me saying, oh, you did the best that you could, because they're like, no, I know that, but I still feel guilty, you know, because they, back to the first question, why is this important? Parents are now seeing the results of the acting out over the last, you know, whatever, in the last 20 years. And they see their children are now adults, and this is possibly a result. You know, their behavior is the result. And so it creates, going back to that, either enmeshment, overcompensating, or completely avoiding. Goes back to the extremes. And then there are the cases when, and I might be offending some people, when there's been an attempt to tell your children, you tell your children, you do a good job, and then it becomes a part of the family narrative. But then it takes, then that's the family narrative. Right, then it's, everything's about sexual addiction, sex addiction recovery or betrayal trauma recovery. That's where they get stuck. I have to share this. I have a couple. Oh, so happy about this. That their adult children, you know, this was their story, right? Mom's a champion for betrayal trauma. Dad is in good recovery. Adult children know everything about, you know, everything. But mom became very open and would, you know, would over emphasize, be careful of this, be careful of this, this is what you got to look out for. But it rectified itself in the family, because now, you know, mom's like, I'm done with this. Like, can we just live life?
Yes.
Like, can we just live life? Like, this doesn't have to be all we do all the time.
That's awesome. Good for her. Good for you if you're listening. You know you are. I love that. What an awesome place to land.
Yeah. So it can go either way, or when the children know, then sometimes families simmer in that for way too long, when there's post growth, when you can grow beyond it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Love that. You're talking about that being the family narrative.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I was in danger of that for a while, personally. So I'm saying that. But like this other woman, partner you talked about, Carly. I arrived at, you know, at that place of post-traumatic growth. Yes, I want to be a voice for this, and this is my passion. This is what I'm called to do, but I want to live my life. So come 5 o'clock, I cut it off.
Right.
When I'm with my granddaughter, my very first little grandbaby, I'm not thinking about this stuff. I'm living my life.
Yes. But, you know, Kathy, I do want to say, like, there's an abundance of understanding of why families stay there, because it's the safest they've ever been. Moving out of that space is terrifying.
Yes, that's good, Carly.
Right, so soaking yourself in recovery is your safety blanket.
For sure.
So there's no labeling or judgment about it, right?
Yeah. I am so glad you said that. Because that just felt like a warm blanket to me.
Mm-hmm.
It did. It is the safest place that most of us betrayed partners have been. All of a sudden it's like, you know, discovery happens, your world falls apart, but at the same time the heavens open up and life really makes sense. And it just feels empowering, because we can do something about that. So thank you for that, Carly.
Yeah.
Thank you. But we don't want to sit out there and park out there for the rest of our life.
Yeah.
We want to take life back and enjoy it. Yeah. Live it out. Yeah. Not allow this to control us. Okay. So this could be a really touchy subject we're going to talk about here, Carly. How do you think religion plays a part?
Yes. So I think to answer that question, we have to understand the moral argument in addiction, right? Because if we understand, you know, if I'm an addict, then God hates me. So why even try? He's already rejected me, right? Or there's the narrative, you know, you have to behave, you have to be good for God to love you. So there's no point in even trying. Okay. So I'm getting off track. How does religion affect?
How does it play a part?
Right. Yes. How does it play a part? So I think if religion is important in the family, that's when the moralistic argument comes in and the purity narrative, mm-hmm. right? It goes back to the sexual identity of the adult child. Is he or she viewing everything through that sexual narrative of too little, push it down, or too much? The purity narrative, no, it's bad, you know, or leave that. God doesn't love me. I'm never going to, you know, please him. I might as well do all these other things. And it can, well, I'll share this. For me, I grew up Christian my whole life. I got to a point where I was like, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what my dad does. God loves us anyways. Right? So there's a justification for all actions,
right?
And there's an avoidance for personal responsibility. If we can focus on the religion and have that, if we can control religion and religion can control us, it's a beautiful way of deflecting from what is the problem here. What is really the problem? What is the accountability in that? So I think religion has a very strong tool to defend, deflect, control. But, yeah, right.
Thank you so much for saying that, because I hear it all the time, every day. And it is definitely a way of protecting from feeling and experiencing shame. And it's so limiting. Mm. It's so disempowering, because that you're saying that you have no control over your own life.
Yeah,
choices, and that's just simply not true.
Yeah.
I mean, if that was God's plan, he would not have given us a brain or free will. So my take on it.
Yeah.
All right. So Carly, what do you suggest would be a good road to healing for adult children who've been impacted by sex addiction?
Yeah. Well, so like I said earlier, we're only building a platform now, right? But I would say, if there are any adult children of SA that might be listening today, I believe that, you know, the recovery field are equipping therapists well enough to be able to walk you through that and have an understanding of sex addiction. So I would say, even though there isn't a certification for adult children of sex addicts, you know, therapists to do that, you know, sex addiction therapists and you know, APSATS certified coaches have enough of an understanding to be a good resource for these adult children. And I would say, educating yourself on what is sex addiction and how it affects your understanding, and support groups. I know support groups are starting to brew; they're coming out. And I think I'm gonna call to action adult children of sex addicts to say that it is your responsibility to take care of yourself, right? Letting go of the shame, letting go of this is me, that is my parents, and knowing that every single morning when you wake up, you have a choice to make between life or death. Are you going to choose life and step into healing? Or are you going to step into, no, I don't want to face this. My parents messed me up and that's it. No. And so there is a part of struggle to be expected, but it's part of the growth.
Yeah. Everything worth having requires sacrifice and effort. So that is, I appreciate that call, Carly, that you put out there for people to take control of their own life.
Yeah.
If we spend our life blaming, I mean, let's acknowledge that's where it started, but if we spend our life putting all of the burden of responsibility and blame on our parents, we're completely disempowered and we remain a victim to that. And it just simply does not have to be that way.
Yeah.
So do you have any specific, and I'm putting you on the spot here, it's not something we discussed, but do you have any specific resources? Because if you pull up sex addiction, I mean, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. Any resources that you can offer that would be good for people?
Ta-da! I've had about 6 therapists text me, including you. Look what I got. The first book, A Light in the Dark, Ken Adams. I just released this. That's, guys, this is why I started off with it's taken too long. I would say reaching out to a CSAT. If you're an adult child, reach out to a CSAT and ask for resources. I bet you the CSAT's going to put it on their support group and they're going to find a therapist for you.
So tell them how they can find a CSAT.
Go to the CSAT website, I think, right?
It is. Yes, it's ITAP. I think it's .org.
Uh-huh.
We will put it out there somewhere where you can actually physically see it.
Yeah,
that's going to show you where a certified sex addiction therapist is in your area, and they're all over the country at least, and I think the world, honestly.
Yeah.
I also know, and you may not be aware of this, but Kristen and Michael Carey, who are a part of our summit and have been every year, they have Living Truth Ministries,
mm-hmm.
and Kristen specifically has support groups for young women who are daughters of sex addicts, and it's called Daughters in the Battle.
Okay.
So we'll include that information for you in case that's something that you guys are interested in. And if Carly, you were in Texas, so if anybody would like support on this topic, if they're within the state of Texas, they can go to daringventures.com and schedule an appointment with you or a consultation with you to see if you guys might be a good fit for that.
Yeah,
for sure. All right, and last question for you. Do you have any message for the parents of adult children? I'm waiting. Bring it on. Not for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think no, if you take yourself to when it happened, when discovery happened, and you said, and you, now in hindsight, you say to yourself, I did the best that I could, right? The best that you can do today is ask for help. Be authentic, be real. Hard conversations are hard for a reason, but they're so necessary, okay? If the 12-step program talks about making amends if it does not harm the other person, and that's key. Making amends when in the case it does not harm another person, that's the first step. And do it therapeutically. Ask your coach, ask your therapist, can you facilitate a conversation for us to talk about this?
Yes, I think that is so important. And to me, it just breathes freedom and forgiveness, freedom of shame and forgiveness into the entire family system. Especially for the person who's struggling with the addiction or the pornography, the sex addiction or pornography addiction, to sit in front of your adult children and take responsibility and own your stuff and encourage, ask for forgiveness, encourage those children to get the support and help that they need.
Yeah.
Is just so freeing for you.
Yeah. Right?
And also for those betrayed moms who carry the shame of physically not functioning and being able to be there and support and love their children, or you know, enmeshing with their children. The same is true for us, to just be able to release that shame and ask for forgiveness of our adult children. What a beautiful gift that we can give to them.
Yeah.
And release them from that shame as well. So
yeah.
Carly, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy.
You are such a wise a wise sage. You truly are, and bold and just so smart. So for those of you who need support, I can't recommend Carly enough. She's so smart and tender and sensitive and kind and such a good friend, and it was just such an honor.
Yeah.
So if people want to contact you, say they listen to this and they have a question, or you know, want to just reach out, how do they contact you?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's Carly, Carley, at Daring Ventures, ventures.com. They can reach me that way.
All right. Thank you for joining us. I hope you were as blessed by this time with Carly as I was. Thank you, Carly.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Betrayal Recovery Radio, hosted by Dr. Jake Porter. If you value the content we've shared today, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. For more resources, visit APSATS.org. That's APSATS.org.